Morning, everybody. I'd like to declare the meeting open at 10 o'clock. The meeting is conducted in accordance with the Local Government Act 1993, the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2025, and all councils are reminded of their obligation to act in the best interest of the community and to declare any interest in the matter to be discussed. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land in which we work and live, the Palawar people of this land, Tasmania, and recognise their continuing connection with land, skies and waters, and we pay respects to the elders past and present. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to also advise you that today's council meeting is being live streamed and recorded. This means that members of the public who are unable to attend in person can still observe the proceedings. By remaining in this chamber, you are consenting to being filmed and recorded. Please be mindful of your actions and contributions as they will be visible to the public, and thank you for your cooperation. 26.1, we have present. 26.1.2 is apologies, which we have an apology for Liz Johnson today. 26.1.3, leave of absence, which we have nil. And 26.1.4, we have staff in attendance. 26.2.0 is public question time. And in accordance with Regulation 33-38 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025, questions, whether they are from members of the public or councillors, must relate to the functions or activities of council, must not be deflammatory, offensive or disrupt the orderly conduct of a meeting. A question asked at a meeting is to be concise, be clear, not a statement, and have minimal preamble. General statements are not permitted during question time. Members of the public and councillors may ask up to 4 questions per meeting. The chairperson reserves the right to refuse a question in accordance with regulations. If a question is refused, the reason will be stated and recorded in the minutes. So do we have any questions from the members of the public? Come forward, young man, and to state your name. Thanks, Graham, for the recording, please.
Graham Wathen from Falmouth. I have 4 questions. In recent times, I've asked a number of questions to council, councillors and the mayor. Replies are provided within a few days and published in the minutes. I always puzzle over who prepares and approves the replies. It is certainly not the councillors who get to hear the questions at meetings, but they never contribute to the replies. Councillors can only read the replies in the minutes. So my first question is, who approves the replies to public questions? The general manager himself, or under delegation or direction by the mayor, or somebody else? A week ago, Bishanoe was named the number one town in Australia. The Bay of Fires is frequently named amongst the world's best beaches by international media. So, councillors, imagine you are travelling from Bishanoe to the Bay of Fires along the Great Eastern Drive. And imagine further, you are a property developer or a real estate agent or a cashed-up retiree. Will you be thinking this beautiful coast is ripe for development? Your interest increases when you find out subdivision is possible, cluster and strata titles are possible, and the scenic protection corridor is only 100 metres on both sides of the highway. So my second question is, when will this council take positive action to protect our remaining coastline from inappropriate development so it remains the recognised natural jewel it is for future generations to enjoy? In the job and personal specification document for the senior town planner position, which is currently vacant and thus holding up progress on development of a scenic areas protection policy, the following tasks are included. I quote, support council's economic development activities from a land use planning perspective, and build and maintain relationships and partnerships with stakeholders that supports and promotes economic development in Breaker Day. In the council's economic development strategy document and its action plan, there is no mention of scenic protection, but there are references to leverage of natural beauty or leverage of existing natural resources. So my third question is, does the council or do councillors place any economic value on scenic protection, or would this question be better directed to Tourism Tasmania? In 2022, most towns within Breaker Day were provided with town plans for the period 22 to 25, which has now expired. Many of the matters raised by communities have been addressed, others are still unresolved. I personally made a number of submissions to the Manager Community Services, 13th of March 23 and 11th of October 24, about the Falmouth Town Plan, which had 10 actions. I received no response nor acknowledgement. Recently, I received the 2026 update on the Falmouth Town Plan, which simply states, ongoing maintenance and asset renewal works continue throughout the township, and council continues to engage with community members regarding local improvement opportunities. So my fourth question is, will there be new town plans developed in consultation with communities for the next period, or is the 2026 update the new town plan? Thank you.
Thank you for that, Graham. And as normal, you'll get a response within 7 working days.
Very good.
Very good, isn't it? Do we have any further questions from members of the public?
Good morning, everyone. My name's Calvin Smith. I'm from St Mary's. Thank you for this opportunity. I greatly appreciate it. I have a preamble, and I'm a newbie here, so forgive me if it's a little long, but I will be brief.
If it is a short preamble, it is accepted. If it's long, I will have to cut you off. Just so
no
you
problems
know.
At all. On the 9th of May, just gone, I co-produced and co-directed a play, and we put it on in the St Mary's Hall. It was written by a St Mary's man, Brendan Berikry, who's with us today. It was well attended. We think between 90 and 100 people attended it. The feedback was very good, not just about the play, but interestingly, a lot of the feedback was gratitude and joy that we put on anything at all. But the hall that we put it on in is not really equipped for putting on theatre. It has racks in the roof for lighting, but it doesn't have lights, and it doesn't have a control system for lights. And although there is a sound system, it doesn't have a control system for the sound system, which we could operate from the back of the hall. I think that's all I need to say in preamble, except the council was very supportive of us doing it, and we put it on in spite of the lack of those equipment facilities. And we're very grateful for that. So the question is, or the cluster of questions is, will the council fund the acquisition and installation of lights and a lighting control system and a sound control solution to make the hall adequately equipped to support the production of theatrical shows for the townspeople of St Mary's and Fingal in the St Mary's Town Hall? If so, when? If not, why not? And will the council consult with local theatre experts and people with experience in the production direction and staging of theatrical performances to ensure that the hall is made purpose-fit for theatrical performances? Thank you very much.
Look, if you could give that in writing to Linda so that we can respond to it. Thank you very much for your attendance today, Carl.
Thank you.
Do we have any further questions from members of the public? Step forward. I don't know who this fella is.
Hello, everyone.
Good morning, Todd.
Okay, so
you'd like to put your name on the record?
Yeah, Todd Dudley from St Helens. I've got three questions really today. So the first one's related to the St Helens Sports Complex. So at Council's meeting on March the 20th, 2023, the Council passed the following motion. The Council engage a landscape architect to design connectivity between the various areas of the St Helens Sports Complex, identifying what amenities are required to service area and its use, as well as ensuring green spaces and vegetation management are addressed as part of the project, and the funds from the public open space St Helens be used to engage a landscape architect to undertake this project. That's carried unanimously. So the questions are, when is Council going to engage a landscape architect to work on a landscaping and vegetation management plan for the St Helens Sports Complex? and where are the funds from the public open space that were to be allocated for this project? The second item is to do with native plant landscaping. So on page 27 of the today's agenda, a report is sought to support the removal of local Tasmanian native grasses and rushes from landscaping in the St Helens and replacement with Australian native species to better reflect the town's coastal identity. These native plants, grasses and rushes are a feature of the coastal ecosystems in the St Helens area, so form part of our coastal identity, and I recall this landscaping was strongly supported when it was initiated by the council. The question is, can council retain the existing landscaping rather than wasting ratepayers' money on removing the native grasses and rushes, just enhance these plantings through the addition of local Tasmanian plants, not mainland native species, such as Coronidium scorpioides, Chrysocephalon apiculatum or Pelargonium australis? And also another question, can council also replant the area around the eucalypt next to the library with local Tasmanian native species? The area currently looks neglected, noting that I'm more than happy to volunteer to help with this project. And the third topic is the St Helens Township Plan. So I recently received an email from the Manager of Community Services regarding an update to the St Helens Township Plan. The updated plan included three actions, one being support tourism growth. In a further email, I asked the Manager of Community Services why support tourism growth was included when it was not an action in the existing plan, and who decided to include it. The response was the April 2026 update document was prepared by council officers. Questions are, which council officers prepared the St Helens Township update? And a number of recent council community surveys have identified community concerns about the impacts of over-tourism and high and increasing visitation numbers. As such, does the action support tourism growth accurately reflect the St Helens community's views? Thanks.
We pass that up to Linda. As per normal, you'll get a response in 7 working days. Thank you. Do you have any further questions, Councillor Carter?
Thank you, Mayor.
Is this through public question time?
Yeah, it is. I'm asking these questions on behalf of Gail Poulsen, Billalong Bay. So her preamble, as a founding board member and former manager who was instrumental in the property purchase of the St Helens Neighbourhood House at Cassian Street, St Helens, in 1984, I have an interest in the successful longevity of this community-owned resource. I note with grave concern the letter written by the public officer, Mr Kevin Mills, stating that the St Helens Neighbourhood House has a government grant of $280,000 per annum, but are currently spending $360,000 per annum on salaries alone, leading to an overspend of $90,000 per year. So question one, will the council hold the current NHH board and management accountable for any mismanagement? Under the rules of an association, the board members are collectively and individually liable for any debts that they may incur. Question two, will the council guarantee there will be no sell-off of community assets to rectify the St Helens Neighbourhood House board's current financial position, as was the case with the Healthy House Board selling off a community-owned building asset in Ida's Court to elevate their budget predicament? And question three, the Fingal Valley Neighbourhood House is in a similar position with a budget loss of $170,000 in 2025 financial year and the previous year of $185,575, as stated on the Fingal Valley Neighbourhood House financial report for 2025. So the third question is, will the council enlist the assistance of the current management of Fingal Valley Neighbourhood House to explain their current financial predicament to the community? Thank you.
Thank you, Ian. As per the norm, 7 working days. Do we have any further questions from members of the public or councillors on behalf of members of the public? We have none. Thank you. 26.3.0 is councillors' questions on notice. We have nil. 26.4, councillors' questions without notice, which we have none.
Sorry. I have a question.
Okay. Sorry. I apologise, Councillor Carter. I misheard you when you put your hand up. Okay, questions without notice.
Thank you. My question is, currently there is at least three community service organisations that are enduring financial or organisational uncertainty. These organisations, St Helens Online Access Centre, Business Enterprise Centre and the St Helens Neighbourhood House, provide important services within our municipality, so their viability and organisational health is paramount. Can Council ascertain that these organisations are indeed sustainable, accountable and effective for the benefit of ratepayers, particularly the most vulnerable? Once this is established, can Council vigorously pursue the relevant level of government to ensure that at least current levels of funding continue into the next financial year and beyond? Thank you.
Thank you. If you'll pass that up to Linda. Do we have any other councillors with questions without notice? Okay, 26.5.0, declaration of an interest of a councillor or close associate. We have none. 26.6.1, confirmation of the minutes of the council meeting on the 20th of April. Can I have somebody move? Councillor Chappell and seconded Councillor Whittaker. Any commentary on the minutes? I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 26.7.1 is, for your information, the workshop on the 4th of May. And the 26.7.2 is the special budget workshop on the 29th of April. 26.8.0 is the planning authority, which we have nil today. So we'll move on to 26.9.1, outstanding matters of council meeting actions. Has anybody got anything they'd like to raise with the general manager on this one? We have nothing. 26.10.1 is the petition of the Aquatic and Wellbeing Facility. We have the officer's recommendation there. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Carter, seconded. Councillor Chappell. Councillor Carter, you'd like to speak to this?
The only thing I'd like to say is it obviously was a lot of extra work for the staff of council, and I appreciate the fact that that occurred in the interest of our community. So well done for those people.
Councillor Chappell. We have anyone who wants to go against this officer's recommendation? If not, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.12.1 is the Mayor's communications for the period ending on the 18th of May. For anyone's information or questions, Councillor Wright.
Did we miss
26.11? Did I?
Yeah.
I went straight past that one. I did too. 20 things, Councillor Wright. 26.11.1 is notice of motion, online access centre funding. Councillor Wright, would you like to speak to that? Or move that? Do we have a seconder for that? Councillor Carter, would you like to speak to your motion, please?
Yes. Okay, so regular council. I'm asking that we urgently take on the funding of the Vital Community Service, which is at great risk, at great risk of losing, being obviously the online access centre. Not only has the OAC lost government funding, but it's in a situation, or was in a situation, where they'd be losing their space. I have been informed today that Council has now offered and approved the space in the front of Portland Hall, for an ongoing use by the online access centre. There is still, however, issues around funding. They do have... It's a vital service. I mean, they've got wonderful volunteers in this place. They take on so much responsibility of helping people work out issues online, computer stuff. I mean, we're an ageing community, and a lot of people in the community have no computer skills whatsoever. It is an absolutely vital service. Every year we lose, Australia-wide, lose millions of dollars in people being scammed on online stuff. People's computers are compromised. I've written a whole... I'm sure everyone would have read through... There's probably not a lot of point in me prattling on too much, but it is a very vital service. I think that we do need to support them. We do need to help them with funding. They do their own fundraising. The difference between them and what happens in the library is that they have numerous volunteers with the online centre. People can walk in off the street and have their issues addressed, whereas at the library, I believe there's only one volunteer and people need to make an appointment to see that person to get the issues dealt with. And if it's something urgent, then that's really not a sustainable thing for people in our community. And the stress and anxiety that is caused from people who find themselves in a situation where they've been compromised with some issues online, it's something that just can't be addressed in a week's time. It's something that we need to have that support. So I think funding and keeping that program alive, or that service alive, is absolutely paramount.
Thank you very much for that, Councillor Wright. Who seconded that one? Councillor Carter, would you want to speak to this?
Yes, please. Thank you. This is the current advertisement from Libraries Tasmania in terms of the replacement for the hours and effort to go in from the Online Access Centre. So comparative hours, 4 hours to, from 20 hours by two people, so over 40 hours. Volunteer hours put through the Online Access Centre, over 2,000. Comparatively, the volunteer hours across the 12-month period for the library would only be 200. There are significant deficits in the resource allocation that will occur if the library is seen as a replacement for the Online Access Centre. It will be totally inadequate, and the bureaucracy of Library Tasmania has been provided with all of this information, but is determined to make that decision on the basis of needing more space for the library rather than what is necessary and essential for our community. So I urge councillors to support the idea that we do what we can to make sure that the Online Access Centre is thriving into the future.
Thank you very much, Councillor Carter. Do we have anyone who'd like to speak against this or speak for this? Councillor Lefevre?
I think the Online Access Centre is essential for the community as well. And being fairly illiterate in IT, I know I've used it many times myself and have received great support. I would actually like to take this back to a workshop and get some more specific information, particularly in relation to why this Online Access Centre isn't funded and Fingal and St Mary's are.
What we would be doing there, Councillor Lefevre, you'd have to move an amended motion to take this back to workshop.
I'm happy to move that motion.
This is a procedural motion. If this is a procedural motion, there's no discussion.
Can I just speak more to that, or to the motion?
So now we're procedural motion goes straight to the vote.
Sorry, Mayor, I would be a bit perplexed about that.
There's no discussion on a procedural motion. A procedural motion has been moved, so we're going to take this to the vote. If we'd like to take this back to workshop for further discussion, all in favour? That is carried. Against? Councillor Carter, thank you. So that motion now becomes the motion, it automatically is the motion. So that will now come back to workshop. 26.11.2. I'm going to step down.
Yeah.
Councillor Chappell, would you please take over?
I'll
just
scroll to the next one.
Well done,
you. I'm going straight past it.
Yeah, because it's halfway down the page. There you go.
Thank you. Okay, so 26.11.2 replace the native grasses and rushes. Mayor Nick Tucker, would you like to speak to your motion?
I'd like to move that.
Do we have a second on that one? Thank you. Councillor Lefevre?
Look, I think it's really very clear. We've had our youth come to our council meeting and talk about how they feel within the landscape of our council is depressing because of its non-flowering, and it gives us a sense of being not a vibrant community. So I would like to think that we could, over the next 12 months, remove and replace most of the non-flowering grasses, rushes, etc., and put them back in with drought-resistant Australian natives, which would be more vibrant and colourful, and also they've got to be quite robust without any great maintenance. So there's a little bit of a criteria there which can be very easily met with with Australian native species to give us a more vibrant and more colourful, welcoming community through our garden beds and by better landscaping.
Thank you. Just 100% supportive.
Anybody like to speak against the motion?
I understand where the mayor is coming from on this. I haven't spoken to anyone who thinks that that the plants are bad. I've spoken to a lot of the youth in town. I'm sort of not sure why a certain group might not be happy with it. I think that there is probably something we can do, but I don't think removing what is currently there, because they are endemic species. When it was done some years ago, it was great praise for the new landscaping, and I'm not sure why we're not so happy with it now. But there are other options. I think Todd Dudley mentioned a few, but I've got a few here as well. I've got photos of that are flowering local natives, which I think would be much nicer. Kangaroo paw, I don't have a real problem with it, but it's pretty commonplace. There are other options that would, I think, fill those gaps, and I can send you pictures and a bit of information on those other available options if you like. There's one is a Pelargonium australi, which has a nice pink flower. There is the Eucalyptus morea. I don't know if I'm not saying it right because I can't read this. Anyway. Which is another flowering, I think it's often called an oyster plant. I'm not sure. It's got a nice white flower. And this other one, which didn't print off very well, actually has a nice, bright, vibrant yellow flower, which is a Chrysophyllum something or other. It's got nice little yellow balls of flowers. It's just three options that I think would be nice, rather than even just one plantation, like one group of colour, having a little bit of additional colour, a bit of vibrance, if that's what our locals do want. But I'd rather use species that are endemic to the local area rather than a Western Australian species, which is the kangaroo paw.
Okay.
That's
okay. All good. I totally agree with what Councillor Wright has just said. I've also got written here, could we please not consider colourful Tasmanian natives? My other concern is that we've had one group make comment and we're jumping to make the changes on their comments. I don't know if that is setting a precedent, but that's my concern. Thank you.
We had a visit from a youth group actually in the chambers where that discussion was first brought up. I'll just clarify that they brought that forward and that felt that the town wasn't bright and that type of plantings. And then of course we also had some letters, a letter, at least one that I know from the community in regards to the plantings as well. So just to clarify, anybody else like to speak for or against the motion?
I agree with the fact that we need to make it more colourful, but remove and replace seems to me to be a fairly drastic action when we can integrate some of the conversation that others have offered in terms of replacement or not replacement. Brightening up the whole facade, I think remove and replace is fairly drastic in comparison to the other option.
Oh, look, I'd just like to close with one thing that is very paramount, and I think we've been very lucky. All of the dry grasses that are in the beds are a fire hazard, and if you look at the car park at Morty's, when cars and vehicles back right up to them, the heat from the exhaust, if we have a grass fire take off, we could lose quite a few vehicles. So it needs to be common sense. It doesn't mean that what we're doing is taking away. What we need to do is encourage people to make sure that when they park their vehicle right up to it, they're doing the right thing. But we actually need to have, if we're not going to remove that grass, it's got to be visually cut right down and maintained so it's not creating a fire hazard. people who throw a cigarette butt or something, a bit of glass, catches fire in our garden beds. It is not just the scenic aesthetics of being visually more colourful and bright and welcoming. Removing some of these grasses that have got so big and out of control is also removing a fire hazard. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'm actually going to take it to the vote now because the Mayor's actually summarised
up. Okay. Yes. Always understood that they were fire resistant. I've got them.
All right, so we're taking it. Basically, we're asking for a report. So I'm going to take that to the vote. All in favour?
Thank you. 26.12.1, I'm in the right place now. The Mayor's communication for the period ending 18th of May is there for your information. Any questions, Councillor Wright?
I was going to say, would it be okay if I leave a bit early? I sort of don't want to be rushing.
Okay, no questions. 26.12.2 is Councillor's reports for the period ending 18th of May. Deputy Mayor Christie Chapel for Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, I have a report there. I've just got to find where I've put it, sorry, because I didn't bring it up. Might be a second. Do you want to go to someone else and I'll... Is that okay?
Okay,
no,
yep.
Actually, I've got it here.
You've got it?
Sorry, yes. Sorry. Okay, Council update for the Chamber meeting Tuesday the 5th of May. There wasn't a quorum, so it was basically information that was just brought forward for everybody's information. There were four in attendance. They're currently working on an updated version of the local map and lobbying businesses to advertise on the back of it. These maps are really well given out amongst our community. They print over 60,000 of these tourist maps, and of course they're sent through to different information centres around the state as well. They're working on an Aboriginal appreciation statement of values for the Chamber of Commerce. They've contacted the Premier and Parks in regards to local concerns about parking and turning circle issues at St. Car park, and they received a letter of acknowledgement back from the Premier in regards to that, which they're appreciative of. There is a treasurer position available at the moment. They've discussed the government Tasmanian small business strategy, and we actually undertook a priorities bit of a working on some sheets and stuff like that. Chamber actually wasn't informed that the Tasmanian government were doing a small business strategy update, so they found out by accident, so they were a bit disappointed about that. They received a letter of support and discussed local community about support for the youth mentoring program as well, and the positive responses received. I can send that to you on email.
Thank you very much for that, Deputy Mayor. NRM Special Committee with Councillor Liz Johnson. Do we have anybody who could put in a report on behalf of Liz?
Kylie's just left. Oh, sorry, you were here.
Councillor Oldham.
We had the meeting here last week. There, I haven't taken any notes.
But... Okay, thank you. East Coast Tourism... Councillor Fever.
Yes, the most recent meeting of East Coast Tourism was last Thursday, the 14th of May. Key discussion points included refining the budget in light of government cuts, further work on finalising the positive impact plan, studying online data related to East Coast Tourism, what is working well, what needs further development. Parks will close St Columba Falls today for a week to enable additional work on the track. Parks will be undertaking road shoulder works at the gardens, and this may impact some roads, tracks for short periods of time. And they'll shortly be calling for tenders for some new toilet blocks along the east coast. That was the park summary.
Thank you very much. Mental Health Action Group's doing nothing. Thank you. Access and Inclusion Advisory Committee, Councillor Wright or Councillor Carter.
Okay, I'm a member and I did chair that meeting, so I guess there wasn't the normal general discussion about all aspects of inclusion, but the most exciting part of the meeting was the draft Access and Inclusion Access Plan, which is obviously going to progress through its iteration in Council very soon. So then we'll get to the community, which is a great thing. So it's great that we will develop that action plan into the future.
Thank you very much. And, well, I've got you, Councillor Carter, so far as master plan.
You wouldn't be surprised to know we haven't had any meeting, but it's also great that there's still an opportunity for public consultation until the end of this month. So it would be super that other people who have an interest in the Bay of Fires, that they make that effort to contribute in the next week or so.
Thank you very much. And the St Mary's Exhibition Building, have we got anybody who can speak to anything on that? No worries. Thank you. Well, thank you very much. 26.13.1 is the Corporate Services Department report. And good morning, Rao.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, councillors.
Rao, this one's got a fair bit of meat in it. If you'd like to talk to this one for us, please.
Well, certainly, Mayor. Well, actually, I was going to say, councillors, there's a lot of detail in the report this month, going through financial management, asset management, the building revaluation process, the transport master plan, refinements that we've been doing, and the appointment of Intuit Technologies as our new ICT managed service provider, and workplace health and safety reporting compliance, and the progression of the Aquatic Centre feasibility study business case. Are there any questions, councillors, on the report? There's a lot of detail there, so I think, Mayor, in the interest of keeping the meeting moving.
Yep. No problem, so I'm going to ask somebody to move the report. Councillor Carter, seconded. Councillor Chappell. Questions on the report, Councillor Carter?
It isn't a question, it's certainly just an affirmation of the amount of work that's gone in and the varying aspects that it deals with are significant in their own right, so well done on that work. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Carter. Chappell, you have any?
I'd just like to see also that the FPOS machines at the waste transfer station, I think that's good still.
Yeah.
Any further questions? If not, I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 26.13.2 of the monthly financial report. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Whittaker, seconded Councillor Chappell. And Rao, would you like to speak to this one?
Certainly, Mayor. So, councillors, this is the report for the 10 months ending the 30th of April 2026. And as usual, there's a series of notes there which seem to be getting a little longer as we get closer to the end of the financial year. Some of them carried through nearly all year round. We continue to see higher user fees than we budgeted for, which is primarily from building activity and building surveying services, higher DA fees, plumbing fees and property certificates is also above budget. And contributions revenue is $60,000 higher, and there's a series of other elements there as well. All in all, we're doing very well against the budgeted position and look to be heading towards a very moderate underlying surplus for the end of the financial year at this stage, noting that there will be some rather large changes with the building revaluation depreciation hitting the books at the end of the year. But we've budgeted well and we appear to be heading close to delivering on that.
So any questions? Any questions to Rao on the financial report? Rao, we got any indication through the federal budget financial assistance grants? Did I read that we're going to get 80% in this financial year, but they haven't confirmed any timing?
I'm yet to see anything on that, Mayor. Sorry. I'm not sure whether the General Manager has any correspondence on that.
No.
Watch and wait for that one, yeah. Okay, I'll take this one to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. And 26.13.3 is the schedules of fees and charges. Can I have somebody move? Councillor Chappell, seconded Councillor Whittaker. Rao, would you like to speak to this one?
Certainly, Mayor. The councillors, the schedule of fees and charges for the next financial year is effectively the start of our main budgeting process. We set the fees and charges that informs the development of our budget for the year ahead, and we've discussed them all at length at workshop. So, no, there's been no changes since the workshop. So unless anyone has any questions, they are presented for your consideration and approval.
Thanks, Raoul, for that. Do we have any questions to Raoul?
There isn't a question really. It's around the fact that it's a reality that we've got to maintain our capacity to provide the service. So all those fees are going up for that reason alone, I imagine. But in this particularly difficult time, I think you've done a really good job to be as respectful as you can of the community in general. So well done.
Thanks, Councillor Carter. It is a difficult balancing act at this point of time, but I think, Councillor, as we discussed, the uncertainty that's out there economically, we are taking some of that on ourselves at this point of time and not simply passing that cost on at an unknown level through to the community. And that's certainly the approach that we'll be discussing later today in relation to rates and budget as well.
Thank you very much for that, Alan. It certainly is a moving target at this point of time. I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.14.1 is the works and infrastructure. Thank you for that, Ralph. Good morning, David. And
Mayor and Councillor.
Can I firstly have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Oldham. And David, would you like to speak to your report for us, please?
This is a brief overview of the activity in works and infrastructure for the last month and what's coming in the preceding month. Capital works are generally going quite well, and as an update, we've just done a green waste mulching campaign, and so we now have available 2 grades of mulch for sale.
Thank you very much for that, David. Has anybody got any questions to the works manager on the report? If not, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. And 26.14.2 is the animal control report. Can I have somebody move that the report be received? Councillor Barnes, seconded Councillor Oldham. David, have you got any extra that you'd like to add to this report that we haven't heard at workshop?
No, Mr. Mayor, it's just provided.
Thank you very much. I'll take this one straight to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.14.3 is the Brigade A Waste Strategy. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? We endorse this. Councillor Chappell, seconded Councillor Lefevre. And David, would you like to walk us through this one?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've just prepared a brief prelude to this. And if you don't mind, I'll just read it so don't make mistakes.
Thank you.
The waste strategy is a strategy for 2025 to 2030, not 2035, which appears on the header of the... The waste strategy table for endorsement at this meeting sets out practical and what I think are achievable outcomes to improve waste and resource recovery. For the Breaker Day municipality and the council. The strategy reflects the challenges of operating in a regional Tasmanian context where the circular economy systems and pathways are still very much evolving, and we're very much as a state in the infancy of those things occurring. And where not all materials are can be currently be recovered in a feasible or cost-effective way. So that means that we have a lot of materials that need to go to landfill because there's no cost-effective or great way of recovering those materials currently. The strategy supports informed decision-making. It aligns with Council's financial and strategic planning approach, and it's been written to respond to emerging regulatory and market changes. And it positions the council to continue to manage waste services in a way that is affordable, fit for purpose, and remains responsive to our local needs and the constraints that we operate under. On this basis, the Waste Strategy 2025 to 2030 is recommended for adoption.
Thank you very much for that, David. And I'm sure everybody's read through this report and plus what we've done through at the workshop. It's definitely opened our eyes up moving forward. But do I got any questions to David that would be like to be asked regarding this waste strategy? Councillor Carter?
And I appreciate the amount of work that's gone into it. It's extremely thorough. I just find it interesting to read different aspects of it and look for possibilities, David. So just on the town litter service, is that all rubbish bins that are sort of on public land? Is that what that means?
It's the town litter bins that are in the town road reserves.
I guess what I'm asking that question for, we have constant conversation in regards to campsites and all of the things that people are coming to the Bay of Fires, etc. for. So I guess I'm raising that question today just in the interest of maybe there's some strategy we can apply to making sure that people don't dump their rubbish in the bush by being a little bit more proactive, I suppose. But that is not a criticism of this document. It's an amazing document. And the other one was just in regards to organics and green waste and organic management. And again, I understand the complications of it and how we do it, but just a simple thing where we expect patrons to or caterers to provide cardboard packaging, et cetera, but we really need to try, I believe, in a more consistent manner to provide receptacles for them to receive that sort of stuff. And again, not a criticism of our intention, just an aspirational thing perhaps.
Any further questions, Councillor Whittaker?
Thank you. Again, great report, well done, David and staff. I'm just glad that maybe in the future we'll be considering recycled bins in some towns. If that might be something we can consider in the future, please.
Thank you. Any further commentary? I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. Thank you very much, David, and thank you for the work that you've done on that.
No worries.
26.15.1 is the Community Services Report. And good morning, Chris.
Good morning, councillors.
Chris, would you like to go through your report?
I think it's self-explanatory, but happy to answer any questions if councillors have any issues or concerns.
Can I have somebody move that report be received? Councillor Barnes, seconded Councillor Lefevre. Any questions to Chris on the report? I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. And 26.15.2 is the visitor information report. Chris, can I get somebody to move the report be received? Councillor Chappell, seconded Councillor Barnes. Would you like to talk us through this one of anything?
Thank you, Mayor. Again, we still have a lot of overseas tourists visiting our area, which is good to see. And the 40th anniversary was on Saturday night. I'm not sure if anyone went to it. Just that they do an amazing job up there, both the Visitor Information Centre and the History Room and the volunteers who work with them.
Thank you very much, Chris. Any questions to Chris on this? Councillor Chappell?
Asset, the history rooms for what we've got here locally is just amazing.
The friends of the history room did that all themselves. They did the event themselves, so they're to be congratulated on what they've done.
Thanks. Chris, I was fortunate enough to be the one to open the museum 40th night. And there was Christy and myself, I think we were both blown away by the support that is shown in this community to those people who work so hard behind the scenes as well as there. It was absolutely a wonderful event to attend.
Very much credit,
yep. Thank you. I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 26.15.3 is the Art and Culture Funding Program 25-26. Could I firstly have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Whittaker, seconded Councillor Oldham. Chris, would you like to speak to this for us, please?
Certainly. Thank you, Mayor. So this was, again, taken back to a council workshop and I've brought it back for a decision of council. So when we advised this community group that they were not successful in getting funding for wages as such, they wrote back and said that they were for the facilitator to run the workshops. So under our criteria, that is an eligible project for us to fund. So I've brought it back to council.
Thank you, Chris. Anybody like to speak to this? Councillor Fever?
This motion doesn't sit all that easy with me in relation to the fact that, as the Community Services Manager said, we did discuss it. Wages aren't a normal part of community grants funding. And I just wonder if changing the term from wages to facilitator actually passes the pub test, or is it just wordsmithing? I think this would be an amazing project and we'd love to see it go ahead. So rather than just say yes or no at this stage, I would actually like to take this back to workshop and look at it more thoroughly, but I don't know how other councillors feel.
Councillor Chappell.
I also feel that if we do workshop it, that we may be able to maybe look at the criteria a little bit, maybe, that we probably need to, even though they're using the non-voters wages and stuff like that. Obviously, there are other ways that people are maybe to using facilitators or whatever, and it might be something that we need to actually look at within the actual the criteria or what is, and the wording may need to be changed.
Through you, Mayor. So after the recent assessments of councillors undertaken and the way that we use the metrics and things like that, we've had a discussion amongst a few of us, and we're going to review it because we needed to actually set things in concrete. And I think one of the councillors actually asked that it be discussed at the whole process be discussed at a future workshop, which I'll do in October, to when we put them out. So I'm not sure whether you still want to go ahead with that process or run this as well.
I also think that until we actually get to discuss it in a sort of open place where we can, that it may be setting a bit of a precedence if we make a decision today. I'm just a little bit concerned about that.
Can I respond to that? Yeah. It won't set a precedent if we change the guidelines. So we can change the guidelines for the next round. It's not actually setting a precedent because we're setting new guidelines. So it won't set a precedent. But as I said, and at the workshop, as I explained, we were actually picked up by the grant people who put the grant in that we were probably not correct in knocking them back on that, because the wages, yeah, they classed as wages, and like Councillor Fever said, perhaps they used the wrong word, but they are paying for the facilitators of the workshops which are being run for the community to develop these projects, yeah.
Look, from where I sit, I think personally I'm comfortable to pass this one today, subject to our workshop in October to rejig the guidelines moving forward, because hence Barry and Councillor Fever and Councillor Chappell, their concerns of setting a precedence will be benign because the new guidelines will overcome that. That's where I sit. Any other concern? And I'm not trying to wordsmith it, but by changing the guidelines of our October one, moving forward, there will be no precedent set today. Councillor Carter?
I think Chris's suggestion that there is going to be a further conversation and review of this is really important, because I guess I agree with what Councillor Fever is saying, but I also understand exactly what's been said by the officers today, therefore I'm conflicted. But I think it would be useful to be make sure we have that conversation so we're clearer into the future, but I'm quite comfortable that I can follow through with the officers' recommendation, because I can see where this is going in the future.
I was going to say,
you can see where it's heading, yeah.
As an individual, I still feel uncomfortable because passing something now that we know is not going to be right in the future still doesn't sit well with me yet. I think it's a wonderful project. I just would have loved this group to volunteer their time and use the money we've given them for materials, as we expected.
Well, if we have no further discussion, I'm going to take this to the vote. All in favour of supporting the officer's recommendation? That's carried unanimous. Thank you. And I honestly really appreciate the conversation and working together to make this one happen. And in October, we will make sure that this is addressed in a in a manner that will be acceptable to everybody moving forward. 26.15.4 is the pathway to connection, walking together strategy. Can I have somebody move this? Councillor Chappell and seconded Councillor Whittaker. Chris, would you like to walk us through this one? And no pun intended. This one has been a really long, drawn-out process, but I think we've come to an incredible good decision at the end.
Thank you, Mayor, and agree totally, but I think it was a process that we had to go through. And I think everyone that went through the process learnt a lot. I certainly did, and talking to other staff as part of it, we certainly did. It is a council document and it sets out how we work together. And I know that we've picked up everyone's issues, concerns or whatever, and we've talked through them as a group, which is excellent. So the document is now here for council to endorse.
Thank you very much, Chris. Any discussion on this one? Councillor Carter?
Well, I almost feel like quoting your whole forward, Mr. Mayor, but the closing comment, as a council...
You can, I will allow you to pay a little fee.
As a council, we are committed to walking this path thoughtfully and respectfully, guided by Aboriginal voices and grounded in our local community. Absolutely great words. So I guess the challenge for us now is to make sure we put those things into action. We are progressing them as leaders of our community actively, but I think that's all said in the document, and congratulations to those people who put it together.
And I think it's really important, Chris, the amount of work that our staff right across put into this. It's resounding, the feeling that's come from all of those meetings that we had to get to here, so beneficial and worthwhile, and I think it's something we can hang our hat on and be very proud of. So I'm going to take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, councillors.
And it is 5 to 11, and we're going to stop for a 10-minute break, and if everybody gets a couple of dollars out of their pocket and gives the lovely Lisa... And you might get what I want. We'll move on to 26.16.1, which is the Development Services Report. And good morning, Jake. Can I get somebody move the report be received? And that's Councillor Fever and seconded Councillor Oldham. Would you like to tell us about your report, please?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Just a couple of simple updates. The officer recruitment process is a focus for the department, and we've had some really strong interest in a couple of the positions, which is good to see. So move to interview stage with a couple of those. Other than that, really just concentrating on getting on with a couple of projects, building projects, just to try to wrap things up for the end of the financial year. And Polly also has a quick update for council as well.
And Polly, good morning.
Good morning.
You're going to tell us about how your cat trapping is going, aren't you?
No, but it's underway this week. I wanted to let you know council was interested in the progress with the Commonwealth on the possible listing of the Angousie Oyster Reef community. And I just want to update you that the Threatened Species Scientific Committee has finalised their report, and that was for the deadline at the end of April. That now rests with the Minister, who has a further 90 business days, early September, I'm told, to make a decision. So that's where that is up to.
Do we have any indication on whether they showed any support towards...
No, I'm sorry, I do not have any indication. I think that's probably within the walls of the Commonwealth at the moment, yes.
No worries, thank you, Polly. Any questions to Jake or Polly on this? Councillor Carter?
Just in, I guess I didn't really know the answer to the question. I'm just interested to know where the Memorial Park community consultation is in terms of the toilets. I guess I'm asking that because I talked to a couple of business owners and they don't seem to have any idea of what's going on or the potential of that toilet being upgraded.
Sure. Yeah, through you, Mayor, that it'll be the end of the workshop as well as the next council meeting. Initial consultation has occurred with the RSL, but we'll provide some more information at the next workshop meeting for endorsement. Yep.
Okay, I'll take this on to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.16.2 is the North East Shorebird Working Group Terms of Reference. Polly, can I firstly get somebody to move? Councillor Chappell, seconded Councillor Oldham. The they endorsed the work Shorebird Working Group, Holly.
Thank you very much. I recommend endorsement of the terms of reference, which formalises what has been an informal collaboration and cooperation group to date, chaired by Parks and Wildlife. They've been leading that now for a while. It's not a decision-making body. Is simply there for key stakeholders to collaborate and coordinate on shorebird management, council's involvement, I think our interest in the beaches. We have plenty of residents who are very much attached to the wildlife on our beaches, and of course we are involved through our dog management policy and the regulation of beach access for dogs as well, and that serves particularly for us to work with Parks and Wildlife and community stakeholders on education and communication.
Thank you very much for that, Polly. Have we got any questions on this, Councillor Carter?
Thank you. Great document, Polly. But I just have found one dot point which I find particularly interesting, given the time I spent on NRM and I did go to the Shorebird meeting. So the dot point reads: regular reporting by regulatory agencies of compliance activities in bird habitat areas with data that enables monitoring and evaluation of levels of regulatory compliance. I find that a very pleasing dot point, given that in my experience or observation in the past has been that people haven't been very forthcoming with data and information around some of this stuff. So I guess, do you feel that's a fairly rigorous intention of this group?
Through you, Mayor, there has certainly been interest in the group to understand what levels of enforcement effort are made and levels of compliance on the beaches, particularly with respect to dog management. What information is available and has been able to be furnished is another thing, but that provides a forum for Council's role in that to coordinate and collaborate with Parks and the community to see if we can work on that side of it. And, of course, in terms of management for shorebirds, education information is something we do really well, I think, and it's pretty challenging to get out there and be policing the beaches all the time and still make it an attractive prospect to go to the beach, but finding that balance and working with these parks and other stakeholders, I think the forum's a good one for that.
Sorry, and that question was not related at what your activities or councillors' activities are, more the other organisations that impose themselves within this circumstance. So I guess I'm just saying I'm pleased that that item's there and I hope it is rigorously attended to.
Okay, we have no further questions. I'll take this on to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 26.16.3, my favourite topic, cat management. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Barnes, second. Councillor Oldham. Polly, would you like to speak to this one, please?
Thank you, Mayor. I'm pleased to bring something that you're really interested in to council meeting. We discussed this at the council workshop recently. Following that, the NRM committee met the next day. We had a really good and fruitful conversation around the questions that are listed there. And quite a few members has shaped what is before you today, recommended as submission points to submit. It's structured around the questions. They use an online questionnaire as their primary means of consultation with the public. And I think it'll be helpful for them, and it structures it for us to stick to those. And I'll reference the questions in relation to that for the issues, and also list a number of general points. My proposal is that from that we write a letter, because the online form's closed now, but basically deliver these same points that are listed before you.
No worries, thank you. Polly, any questions on this one? Okay, I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. Thanks very much for that, Polly. 26.17.1 is the General Manager's Report. So, John, we haven't heard much from you today, but let's hear a little bit now.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was expecting a lot more discussion on the cats.
No discussion on cats. You know my thoughts on that.
That's why I thought there'd be more discussion. All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a few little observations in my report, certainly in relation to the Australian Electoral Commission, Electoral Redistribution, the public hearing, which yourself and myself attended in Hobart. It was very controlled and process. We had limited time to present, 5 minutes each. But it was interesting, a number of other presenters also who participated provided some great articulation of why they shouldn't be in lines, but actually articulated we should be part of that. So that gave us something to actually to add to our conversation there as well. But it will just be interesting to see what the outcome is. It is all about the numbers game for them. And but certainly it was probably in some ways disappointing, the level of attendance there. There's probably, maybe 8 people that spoke there for something like this, which had some significant impact as well. So that was an interesting one. And the other one's just in relation to the Eastern Strategic Regional Partnership. Certainly the St Mary's Childcare Centre project. Probably going to be about 12 months before they start work, by the time they go through the design engagement design, all that process. They're looking at probably about 12 months until construction starts, probably mid-27, and aiming to be completed in 28 as well. So I think sort of the milestones have been agreed between the federal and state governments, and from our perspective we'll come through on the approval process, but due to have been part of the Strategic Regional Partnership, we'll be maintaining a watching brief there as well. And the other one was to do with the St Helens District High School Options Assessment. Had a meeting with DSIP and the Department of State Growth just to do initial scoping on this project, and that sort of the department have a well-established priority identification process, and where St Helens sits in the scheme of things is not apparent at the moment, but we should have some visibility that next few months there as well. What else was there? I'll just scroll back up here. Well, bear with me. I think that was the critical thing. Just in relation to the Regional Jobs Hub forum, etc. There's certainly a focus around future funding and what that might comprise of moving forward. As we know, the state budget is fairly stretched, and what might be the opportunities for some federal support in this space as well, so it becomes a collaborative approach. But the network's working with Jobs TAS and ministers around that as well. The critical ones there, Mr Mayor, happy to take questions.
Councillor Chapman.
Any words of wisdom from the Honourable Kerry Vincent in regards to an update on the St Mary's Pass, what they're looking at there, with the investigations, have they got any movement there, and also, I note, state highway amendments?
Yeah. Certainly, in relation to the St Mary's Pass, the Minister was going to talk to the Department, and we talked him through our perspectives. We had the options there, etc. So it was just a good opportunity just to talk to him about our perspectives there as well.
But, that was
the point we were making
around
this, so he was going to pursue that through the department there as well. And obviously the maintenance of state highways there as well. The Minister does take an active interest in this, and if he finds a pothole, he talks to the department about it. So he's very involved in making sure that good maintenance is happening. So it's long-term play, but hopefully we'll see things. I'm noticing a deterioration in St Mary's Pass as well, where there are some substantial failures in the pavement. And so I think the Minister's going to be in the area in the next couple of weeks. So hopefully we'll note those failures.
Something else will happen, and then all of a sudden it'll come back to the front of their minds again, and it shouldn't have to take something else to happen before something will be, oh yeah, you know, we've been sitting on this for a while. We need
Councillor Fever.
I wonder if you could expand on the meeting to review camping in Braga Day, particularly the on-site visit, because I believe this is going to be a huge item of concern for us in the next couple of years. Decisions are going to have to be made somewhere along the line, and it'll impact on Braga Day for many, many years. So I just wondered what happened in that meeting.
Yeah, really it was with the officers involved from Parks and that. It gave a good opportunity to provide some site visits and to take them and talk to them about how the sites operate, and that was from the garden. So it wasn't just camping, but even the situation up at the gardens with the parking and everything there. So looked at that, looked at what the challenges were in that space, talked through the local context. So gave it a good opportunity to talk about local context, but it was people out of their offices looking at stuff on the ground around what it is. And so a lot of it is linked obviously to the Bay of Fires master plan as well, and obviously them with their land management responsibilities as well. So, and even like where there's some talking about within the Bay of Fires master plans, a couple of areas becoming day use, on the ground looking at those sites to say, okay, well, we can see why they're talking about them being day use there as well. So, and the same with the gateway option that was obviously within the master plan. There's the gateway there at the Gardens Road intersection. How feasible is it? How could it potentially work in this site as well? So really, it was very valuable from the point of view of them actually being on the ground to look at something firsthand in the context of what was being proposed. I think the gardens one's a classic one where there was a lovely, nice plan there. It was drawn from a desktop, but no mention of the huge chunks of granite floaters which are there, and whether it's feasible in that with what was actually proposed in the plan or whether it required modification. So a lot of fine grained stuff just to validate some of the things I'm reading in the plan.
Thank you. Councillor Whittaker.
Thank you for your work on that, because unless someone's on the ground, how can you do a plan for anything seriously?
But my thought was, thank you both for attending the discussion with the AEC about the electoral redistribution on our behalf. Do we have a time frame on that?
Not quite sure. They didn't talk about time frames, but hopefully...
10 years?
Well, obviously it's a federal, so they need it done before the next federal election, so it's part of a regular cycle that they do. I think in the past they've actually been in a situation where the recommendations have actually gone back and changed their decision based on the feedback. So we'll just wait and see what happens with this one as well. But, there was nothing provided.
Thank you,
Mike. I think, if I may, just to add to our General Manager's report on that, I was the only one who got up and apologised for what they were going to hear from me before I started. And then John played the good cop. Oh, I don't know why I always get the bad cop and he gets the good cop. We're going to have to swap it one day. But in all fairness, the commission, I think they genuinely listened. If you were up there speaking to them and speaking at them sitting behind, you could tell with the body language that they was hearing things that, well, hang on. And so I would really hope that they actually show more than body language and have the intestinal fortitude to actually re-look at it and consider that what they're proposing is so inadequate that it'll really disadvantage Braga Day. And they should also consider that we should be in Bass where we belong, where we used to be. So they really need to take a good hard look at what they heard, and I'm hoping that they did, but... John come behind and played good cop and cleaned it up. So thank you, John.
I wasn't sure I was that good. But anyway.
it just makes perfect sense, if I may. Just, you know, that's where we have our medical services. Most of us, it's where our children go to school a lot of the time. That's where our connections are. It just doesn't make sense.
Look, I haven't got anyone who's moved or seconded that one. Can I have somebody move the General Manager's report? Councillor Alderman seconded Councillor Chappell and Councillor Carter.
Thank you. I just wonder if we can just go back to the Parks and Wildlife Natural Resource meeting. In that meeting on site stuff, General Manager, is there any indication that they might see some of this as a fairly urgent matter? That if we're sitting on it for another 12 months waiting for funding, we're going to be behind the eight ball with lots of this stuff?
Yeah, certainly we talk about some of the quick win things in here. The interpretive material for the Bay of Fires, when you look at the Bay of Fires Master Plan, there's a gateway, but there's also other things there as well which can be dealt with as well. In terms of their other activities to change from, say, camping to day use areas, now, not quite sure their time frames on that, but that's more of the internal thing which that's sort of they just need to manage that conversion once a plan is signed off. And the other one, like the gardens, that's a slightly longer term one, but we felt quite positive around the interactions we had on this, and just need to work with the landowner to acquire some land, so what that might look like from a budget perspective. But that one's quite urgent. I think when we left up there, there were 27 vehicles parked. I thought, walking through the mall in Melbourne, the number of people that were wandering around, I saw people everywhere. So,
set that up well.
Some things will obviously hinge on funding, but they've certainly got some projects underway around infrastructure upgrades, I think. The new toilets at Dora Point, a classic example of some of it. So there's stuff in the pipeline, it's just the alignment with the plan outcomes.
I guess that's comforting to know there's some short-term intention, because otherwise I don't think we should be waiting 1 and 2 years to get funding for some of this stuff. It's just got to happen.
And there'll be a mix, like some things where it's low funding and get quick wins, you grab those ones. Some of the ones which are longer term might take a while. The gardens, car park, toilet type thing, you resolve the land issues then you can move things forward a bit, but I don't know how much dynamite you need to break that rock apart.
Councillor Oldham.
You mentioned the toilets for a point. Mm. What status are they now? I heard they were being removed.
No, they were building new ones. So what you've done is retain some elements of the Dora Point toilets, the stonework, and built new ones.
And it's a credit to them.
It's a really nice job. So it must be all but ready to
open. Yeah, it was nearly open when we were there.
Yeah, so they're good.
Following on what you go to some of the Bay of Fires Master Plans community gatherings, and it was a common thread through there, the toilet situation.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
The gardens have got some new flora and fauna that's been a new ecosystem. Brown daisies are popping up everywhere up there.
Brown and white butterfly.
Yes. So we hope that there's some good discussions come out of that to help resolve some of those things.
And John's right about those rocks, some of them up there, I think they go halfway through to the centre of the earth.
Do we have any further comments? If not, I'm going to take this under the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 26.17.2 is the annual plan quarterly review. So, can I have somebody move that the officers receive the officers' recommendation? Councillor Chappell, Senator Catherine Whittaker, and John, would you like to lead this one through, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, this is the third update for the year. So, the target was 75%. We're sitting 68% on that. Naturally, we've got some variations in there. I'm just going to work through them. And the summary's in the report to council. Just highlighting a few things there as well. And obviously the website redevelopment, that's something that we've been working towards, so currently under assessment, so that'll be coming through for council consideration shortly. Just moving through community event support, so I think when you look at some of the activities around the community events and what the community services team have done, but they're really focused on enhancing and streamlining the event processes. And I think council's seen some of that there, some of the frustrations were around timing, receiving information, and that does impact on that. So getting that clear guidance on planning approvals, success was really important. Event attraction, obviously there's been a few that we've, councils will be aware of, but we've
stadium there a number of weeks ago, which was the first time we've had a boxing event there, which went really well. So that was showing diversity of events. But obviously there was another major one scheduled for St Mary's, which is fallen over at this point in time. So hopefully that will come back. So a lot of it is reactive to ideas, but some of those really come through and come through strongly. Happy to take questions as we roll through this as well. Obviously, the finalisation of the arts and cultural strategy was an important achievement as well during the year. In around the wellbeing and some of the youth activities and that, obviously, we've had a vacancy in the department which was when Leah left, and so we've taken the time just to revisit service delivery and focus of some positions, so that's been advertised and filled. So, yep.
Sorry, I was going to, can I make a comment on that? I think I didn't say it in the report, but it's great to see that Renee's on the ground and been very active at this point. It's refreshing to see that there's some assistance for those people that are working in that area. They sorely need it, and it looks like she's got a lot of enthusiasm for the role.
She's very enthusiastic and a great fit for it, for their involvement, and also highlights some of the things within the organisation. Employees come in one spot and then they have the opportunity to find a niche that they want to tackle.
So these internal opportunities for growth and development are really important as well, and find their passion points as well. You think you like something, but then you get exposed to something else and you say, oh, this is great. So, economic development strategy, obviously, I've had some good solid progress for the first 6 months. In the economic space, it slowed off a bit with the economic development officer going on maternity leave, but Delara is just starting to ease her way back in. They're doing some work, so activities in a number of these areas are gradually picking up now as well, just as she settles back in, but it's only very much part-time. Just settling down, as you can imagine. That sort of thing. And obviously the childcare needs analysis was completed. Population strategy is probably the other piece that's been on hold a little bit as well because of the availability of Delara, but it's also a good one that can be worked on remotely and on a part-time basis. So that one's on her list. Probably during the last few months, one of the big activities just in relation to has been around the Jobs Hub and BoDEC and the transition from Fingal Valley Neighbourhood House through to East Tass Education and Employment. So there's a lot of work behind the scenes just to bring that together, make it happen, but pleasing to report its transition date was 31st of March, and everything that's happening in accordance with the MOU, it's just a bit of the tidy up around the financial unwinding which is happening at the moment, but that piece is done. So that's all now set up the Jobs Hub and the Study Hub under the one legal entity to move things forward. Population. Moving forward into environment, obviously quite a bit of activity in this space, strategic activity with the regional land use strategy, with the command of a Morris structure plan, with the industrial land strategy. That's all been progressing really well, and we've seen a couple of those documents come through to finalisation before the end of the financial year. And then setting it up, obviously, for the next stage is the scenic areas assessment. That's the next major piece there as well. And the other piece in this is also around the Samander River mouth operation as well. So there's been like four major pieces of strategic work happening in this area over the last 12 months. And obviously the other point of note there is in relation to the NRM committee and some extra resources to support the activities of that committee as it is allowed off the NRM facilitated. Thank you. criteria of activity, and as noted within that, the livability strategy, and there's a delay, but now we've got resources for that. That's starting to move forward, so that'll have quite a bit of visibility over the next 6 months for councillors. So, and a few workshops will be coming up as we frame the context of the livability strategy development as well. And obviously, in relation to this as well, there's been some strategic work which David's done an immense amount of work on. Rouse provides support too, so just noting the Transport Master Plan. Then Dave's been working on St Mary's Parking Strategy, but waste management has been a big area of focus, and I think the evidence is there. You've dealt with the waste management strategy today. That was prepared in-house. Bit of external support, but it shows a depth of understanding around our waste systems. But also then there's been two other major pieces, and one is the Scamander Waste Handling Facility, which is another strategic investment, and then the Scamander Inert Landfill piece as well. So a lot of air focus there, and the fact it's been done in-house, apart from sort of you know the information is right, it's also substantial saving for council in not engaging a consultant who then doesn't have the same depth of understanding of our systems as well. And the other major piece there has obviously been to do with the aquatic facility, which keeps taking a bit of resource. We've been through the feasibility analysis. Now we're into the business case piece as well, so that will take a substantial amount of time in the next few months. That's probably the bulk of it, Mr. Mayor. Happy to take any particular questions.
Have we got any questions you would like to ask through that, Councillor Carter?
Thank you. Can I go back to the Scamander coastal hazards stuff? I note the mitigation stuff that's going on, the early activity. I'm wondering if there's been any consideration of one of the recommendations in there in terms of establishing a monitoring system to read the river levels. Is that any intention in the near future?
I'll check with Polly on that one, but certainly I think that's something that probably needs some consideration.
I would have thought so. It gives much more reliable data in terms of when we've got to do things and not. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, if we have no further questions, Councillor Fever and then Councillor Chappell. Tag team.
I was just going to say, looking at the review, the thing that stands out to me is how extensive it is. In fact, to me, it's quite mind-boggling how our general manager could be all over all of that, and what a terrific job the staff do. So the depth and breadth of all those topics is really amazing, and I just think we as councillors, and I think we do, should be advocating so strongly for our council staff, and this is clear evidence of what they do.
Thank you, Councillor Lefebvre. At the end of the day, it's a team effort. All the responsible officers, the owners here, accept that responsibility. They provide those updates. It's a great tool for me to then go back and review progress there as well and provide summation there. Even though you know pretty much what's going on, to do that formal piece here as well is really important just to do that. So I do the roll-ups at the end. I look after the things I'm responsible for, but everyone else plays a key role in making sure the information's there as well.
Our whole process is still brilliant.
It works well.
There's
two things there. The first is I just love having the dates on when the last sort of update was going on, that thing to keep the accountability of things going, which is just awesome for everybody to see. I attended an event on the weekend, a private event on the weekend, and there was lots of talk about people and the public loving the walking around Georges Bay and the lights and that. And the questions lead to, because there are a lot of residents that lived on the Binlong Bay Road and out of Binlong Bay. Is it Council's intention to somehow have a trail that will connect all the way around and all the way through? And I'm wondering whether that's where that sits in with the St Helens Binlong Bay livability strategy, and obviously also our recreational trails and all that type of thing. That is Council's one day would love to have type project, I'm assuming.
So that is part of it.
That
so
connection.
Had a few few previous decisions from council around that. The homework has been done at the high level in relation to connectivity from St Helens to Binlong Bay. That will feature within the building strategy. It actually features within the Bay of Fires Master Plan as well.
It pulls together
there as well. So then it'll be one of those projects which will be one that we will push for funding for there as well. So still a lot of work to do around the fine grain, particularly when you get to Moulting Bay and where does it go and how's it linked, but certainly provides some great connectivity.
They see how good and how great it is in the use around the bay and continue through.
It is a fairly long pathway. I'm not sure too many people are going to walk it there and then return out and then transport to get back. But to run out and back is basically it's over a half marathon. So maybe a few, but I think a lot of people will ride it.
Yes.
A lot of people will ride it.
Thank you.
The other aspect of that is not just quality of life stuff, it's also the fact that there's so many people going out there that may choose alternate ways of getting there, which will be an amazing aspect to the development.
And the other piece will come up too, where you can see that once you get there as well, because once you reach Binlong Bay, is there a way to provide a connection through the swim car, which is respectful of some of the very difficult environmental areas, those ones where where the penguins nest, all of those penguin walkery pieces and other elements there which we have to work with. So there are solutions. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any further questions? If not, I'll take that to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. And 26.17.3 is the call for motions for ILGAT, which is going to be held on the 19th of August. And we have one there. So can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Chappell, second Councillor Whittaker. And John, would you like to talk to this one?
Yeah, I'll talk to it a bit, Mr Mayor. This is one that's been prepared by the Development Services Coordinator as well, based on something that Jake had noted there, that there is a restriction on the fees which can be charged for the accommodation. Purpose of short-term accommodation. So recommendation is that we advocate for a change to LUPA regarding that there as well. Jake, did you want to talk at all about that?
Yeah, I think you're pretty well covered. I guess it's not reflective of the resources required to process the permit. And there was reasons why they implemented that maximum fee to start with. With the movement in that space at the moment, I think it's time they have a look at that. So do note other councils have progressed an additional fees. Not quite sure how they're looking at that, but we are exploring that space. But see whether or not the GAT can lobby that change.
Thanks, Jake. I think it's really important because the $250 that's there doesn't recognise the resources that are put into it. So it's a good motion that I think will get a lot of support at ELGAT. And being Monday the 18th, it'd be remiss of me of not saying happy birthday for the Jake.
Happy birthday.
You're looking a year older, Jake.
Yeah, I feel it.
Quite a
lot. Thank you.
So if we have no further questions on that one, we'll take that to the vote. Carried unanimous, thank you. And 26.17.4, this Commander Sports Complex request for tender. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Chappell. And John, would you like to lead this one, please?
Yep. Thank you, Mr Mayor. The executive officer may want to add to this a bit. So as part of the ongoing work with this Commander Sports Complex, we've been working closely with the committee there as well. Council would recall that a while back we'd had the request from the Scamander Golf Club to establish separate facilities, and we put the brakes on that and said we actually need to look at this in a more strategic context. The Scamander Sports Complex had done some work in that space. We did a bit of work through the Scamander Balmoral Structure Plan, did a bit of engagement through that as well, from sort of that community engagement piece as well. And then this is the next stage, but Jane may wish to add more to this.
So we actually met, the sports complex did their own consultation, and then we actually met with all the groups separately as well when we got the request from the golf club and talked to all the groups up there, and then we did the Scamander Beau Morris structure plan consultation, which, if you remember, had some specific questions in there around the sports complex so that we could actually gauge a little bit of idea from the community around what they see to be the future and the vision of the complex. And we developed a request for tender, which has gone, which will go out, which will basically was based on that feedback that we got from the clubs and the community that was used to develop the brief around what was what they would like to see happen up there. And we've been obviously talking with the Scamander Sports Complex Committee regularly as well, so they're fully aware of everything that's going on as well.
Thanks, Jay. No questions on this one? I'll take it to the vote. All in favour?
Thank you.
Carried unanimously. Thank you. And I'm going to ask our lovely young lady in the audience, Laura. Laura, you're the only one left. But we'll catch up with you later on, Laura.